Welcome to the May 9th, 2018 Tacoma Landmarks Preservation Commission. First on the agenda is roll call. Commissioners present are Schlosser, Johnson, Morgans, and thank you, I pronounce.
The team, Morton.
Flintoff, Williams, and House. Others may join us later. Item two on the agenda is the consent agenda, excuse of absences. Commissioner Hartoy, Murray, Simming. There are four sets of minutes to approve, February 14th, March 14th, March 28th, and April 11th. Are there any additions or corrections in the minutes? And item 2C, necessary review. There were two, 522 North J Street and 1108 North L Street. And that is the entire consent agenda. Is there anything to change or approve for that? Hearing none, I would say the consent agenda is approved. Item three on the agenda is naming a preliminary review for 1147 Dock Street, the Mulaney Jan Laprise Dressel Park. I'll start with the staff report. Oh, and Commissioner Stewart. Thank you.
Pursuant to Council Resolution 38091, the Landmarks Preservation Commission reviews and makes recommendations to the City Council on name change requests. The purpose of this review is to determine whether the requested name change application is complete and should be scheduled for further review. If so, the item will be scheduled for public testimony at a future hearing and may be forwarded to City Council for further review. Agenda item 3A, 1147 Dock Street, the Melanie Jan LaPlante Dressel Park. The Foss Waterway Development Authority is requesting to name the future park at 1147 Dock Street, the Melanie Jan LaPlante Dressel Park. Construction on the 3/4-acre park is set to be completed in 2020 and will include commemorative signage on Ms. Dressel's lifetime of service on the boards of Tacoma's nonprofits and her role in the redevelopment of the Taya Foss Waterway. She also served as the president and CEO of Columbia Bank for 17 years. Melanie Dressel passed away in 2017. The name change policy criteria is in the packet, so I will not read all of that. Action requested is determination that the application is complete and should be scheduled for public hearing. The commission may schedule the application for a hearing, may defer the request if additional information is needed, or may deny the request. If the commission does not take any action on the application within 60 days, either to schedule for a hearing or defer for additional information, the request is automatically denied. Analysis is that pursuant to Council Resolution 38091, the Landmarks Preservation Commission reviews and makes recommendations to City Council on name change requests. And two, the request includes a map and photographs of the area, as well as letters of support from Metro Parks, Carino and Associates, the Children's Museum of Tacoma, the Foss Waterway Seaport, the Executive Council for Greater Tacoma, the Tacoma Pierce County Chamber, and United Way of Pierce County. Thank you.
Thank you. Norm, if you want to join us.
Hi.
And if you have a presentation, please go ahead.
I'll just say a few words. I'm Norm Golub. I'm the Executive Director for the Foss Waterway Development Authority. Linda K. Briggs is our capital campaign consultant who has been working with us on raising the $3.2 million for this particular park. I'll bring this up closer so that you can see it. It's on the side of a former steam plant.
Nice catch.
And some of the park elements that you see are reminiscent of that former smokestacks that were there. While we've been undergoing the planning process for this park, we've kind of generically been calling it Central Park. We, in Melanie's honor, as a former board member, are looking to name this after her. Although technically the full name would be Melanie Jan LaPlante Dressel Park, much like George A.'s Weyerhaeuser Jr. Park, it will most likely be referred to as Melanie's Park. Linda Kay worked with Melanie for many years, was a close personal friend, and I'm going to let her talk a little bit about Melanie and who she was.
Thank you. I don't know if anyone knew her. Did anybody know her? No. Oh, well, my honor and pleasure to tell you a little bit about her. She's a homegrown girl. She's from the eastern part of the state, and moved over to the western part of the state and has been, was the CEO of Columbia Bank for 17 years. She was a CEO that was beloved by tellers and senior management alike. She was the person that loved Tacoma. She was on every board that I know of, and she was the kind of person that moved every board forward. The only time people got upset with her was when her 9 years was over as a board member. She was beloved. When you review the letters, you can feel that sense in those letters of a request for approval. She was on the national banking circuit of high achieving women. Milgard at University of Washington Tacoma gave her a lifetime achievement award a year before she passed. A big shock to the community. She was just about ready to retire, 65 years old, and many, many people sad in the heart sad that she didn't have a chance to live that last chapter. When we first talked to a few people, Norma and I, to write a letter of approval or request for approval from y'all, I would start to go through the bullet points of how wonderful she was. And I have them for you here, they're in the letter. But people would respond, they'd grab a heart, they'd hold their face because they all have personal relationships with her. So you can tell by the variety of letters that the variety of love they have for her was incredible. And I think it was her authenticity, her intellect, her genuineness to people that I've been with the community for 25 years and I have never heard one person, and I'm in the relationship business, ever say an unkind word about Melanie. And the thing about Melanie was that everybody wanted her, wanted their help, and the only time someone criticized Melanie was when she wouldn't say no. So her executive team back at Columbia Bank continually said, "Melanie, say no," and she just couldn't do it. So she was that kind of leader. I'll tell you one just quick story, this kind of person she was, about her hometown. When Columbia Bank grew and grew and grew, and they would acquire banks, one of her goals was to visit every single branch so that people could see her face, understand not to be fearful about a conglomerate taking over their independent bank. But that's how she felt about people, that she wanted to give that sense of relief that people may have with that fear. She felt the same way about her hometown. It's the reason she didn't ever say no. If you needed her help, she was going to be on the board. And I think there's a list of boards that she was involved in. So as a professional, it was my honor to work with her. And as personally, it was my blessing to know her. And I wish you could have known her. So that's a little bit about her.
Thank you. So as I said earlier, she was a Foss Waterway Development Authority board member, and she served for over 6 years, helping to guide much of the development that you see along the Foss today. Our board felt that this would be a fitting tribute to her. This is property the agency owns, and we felt it would be a fitting tribute to name this park after her, especially for her love of children, which, as you can see, there's a lot of play elements here for kids. I'm happy to answer any questions you have.
Thank you. Commissioner, comments or questions?
No questions.
I would add one thing, if I may, Chairman. Her widower, Bob Dressel, is thrilled to pieces that their grandchildren could visit this park. Just so you know, he's very happy about this.
You said that this is where the steam plant used to be?
That's my understanding. It's the site of a former steam plant that operated into the 80s.
And has that park been cleaned up so there's no environmental problems?
Yes. Our agency purchased it, I believe, in 2005, and we went through remediation on it. A part of the project will actually be placing a cap over an additional cap of fill material over it. So it's got a clean certificate, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, okay, sorry. I thought people were still talking and thinking. I'd like to move that the Landmarks Preservation Commission adopt the analysis as findings and schedule the naming of Melanie Jan LaPlante Dressel Park, recommendation for a public hearing and future consideration at the meeting of June 13th, 2018.
Motion by Commissioner Slusser. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Williams. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your good efforts.
Groundbreaking will be in 2020, and it will be completed in 2020, is our understanding.
And we'll invite you.
We will.
Will there be a sign?
Actually, I believe the park is...
Yeah, well, once approved officially by city council, there's a small sign down there now, a green sign about this big that says Future Park. Metro and us will put up a larger sign with this rendering on it that says Future Side of Melanie Jan Plant Russell Park.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Have a good evening.
Okay.
Agenda item 4A is a design review for 417 North Sheridan Street in the North Slope Historic District, and...
Yeah, that's me.
Will you join us, and again, we'll start with the staff report.
Thank you. So this is actually a design amendment. This application was approved on October 25th, 2017. First part of the staff report is the design that was approved, so I'll skip down. The applicant is now requesting approval for a design amendment that includes a change in roof pitch from the existing 10 over 12 to 7 over 12 for the addition. The roof bridge would be continuous. Removal of the second proposed gable dormer would also be on the back, and a 2-foot 4-inch increase in the length of the addition. And the shed roofs over the study and exterior back door to provide cover would be added.
So that's those drawings are the existing. Yeah.
Oh. There we go. Sorry.
And so this is the revised.
Yeah.
And so in plan review, so I got stalled out a little bit from your approval to permit drawings, and then I got a little stalled out after my first comments back from permitting. But so we had a gable on just one half, one side, to get some head height into the second floor spaces. And they weren't really happy with that because it wasn't as much clearance as the 6'8". I couldn't get the 6'8" across those spaces. And so we looked at that, and then the framing was getting really kind of complicated with the historic building, and the framing is like the center of the center bearing point is not actually in the middle. It's kind of crazy the way the attic is framed relative to modern framing code. So what we're proposing is to take that point at which we wanted to get some head height, and it shows up in that if you go to the next page. I didn't get everything complete, so just ignore that section on the bottom because it didn't get updated, but the section above. So what we're proposing is to take the roof from that point, the ridge would be the same, and take the roof off, and it's being extended 7'6" at the back, and using some kind of trusses and just going across that way so that it will essentially be a shed that's a little shallower than the normal pitch of the roof.
For the record, I just wanted to add that staff recommends approval of the design amendment.
Okay. So I didn't need to say all that. Right? Was that in the minutes?
That was in the staff report.
Oh.
She sends it every time. So.
Okay.
But continue if you had.
No, I didn't know. Is there any questions?
So I think I know the answer to this, but I'll ask the question anyway, just so you can clarify it. So the two dormers that currently exist on the house, one of those dormers is meets basically at sort of the pitch of the roof, and the other one is lower down.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the one that meets at the pitch of the roof will essentially block the view of the...
Yeah, if you look at that. South elevation.
Existing.
That's existing, so you have to go down again to the next sheet. Yeah, so the gable, the west gable, if you were floating in the air, would block that. You can see the roof change on the ridge on that south elevation. You can see it kind of peaking.
So you went to the shed dormer as opposed to the gabled dormer to get your ceiling height?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Just to maintain bearing and not make it too incredibly expensive.
That makes sense. Really, there's no change from the front elevation. There's nothing that's going to be visible from the front. So, and we've already approved this, so I'm fine.
Okay. I cut a couple elevation perspectives off that, like from the street, and it really doesn't look. Yeah, it's like the real impact of the house is the front of it.
So. Right.
Well, I would certainly urge the commissioner to approve this amendment.
Okay.
A sample there. Okay. Any more questions or comments? Care to make a motion?
Can I ask one quick question?
Oh, sure.
More question for staff. Was there any talk with plan reviewers about having some type of relief to the 6'8" headroom based on the historic house and the fact that the application had already been approved?
It's not.
And I didn't really engage with the plan reviewer that much on that. I just sat there and stewed over it for a couple months. So. I guess, I mean, if I really wanted to push it, I should have comments and, you know, talked it through with him.
I've ran into similar problems with houses that have legitimate second floors that don't meet the head requirements, and they point you back towards what the code was when the house was originally built and whether or not it was compliant then, but they won't let you expand the square footage based on that headroom. So I could see why you'd be up against that, but I was just wondering if there was some type of leniency that could be applied for the North Slope, given we have had other applicants come before us who want to do similar things to increase the headroom. And I think just in general, I think it would be beneficial to have a conversation with staff about that, about ways that they could provide some greater leniency that would allow people to do additions or dormers that are more compatible with the existing architectural style, if there was some relief for that 6'8" rule.
Like in the existing configuration, there's a toilet that's right at that low point. So when you sit down and use it, it's fine.
Yes.
You know, and,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So, I mean, maybe if your plan review identified that to whoever the applicant was, that there was some kind of interface between the two groups.
Yeah,
if requested, we can talk to your reviewer if there's an issue. That wasn't requested at the time, so we didn't come up.
Do you prefer the revised design better than your original application, or are you reluctantly?
I mean, I think aesthetic, I think actually functionally and constructively, this is better.
Okay.
Maybe visually, it would be nicer to go that route, but I would probably pop the gable. I would probably cross the gable so that the bedroom had the same, you know, kind of nice clearance. But
okay.
But at this point,
this will be cheaper for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you'll have better head height overall.
Well, one suggestion I might have is to pull the shed dormer back from the, what facade is that? The north elevation. So that the north elevation could still have the kind of 1.5-story steeper pitch if you just pulled the shed dormer back 2 feet.
And then I could just look out the overhang. And
yeah, it would still require a little bit of tricky framing on the inside and the drywall. You know, the ceiling would be sloping for that last 2 feet. Mm-hmm. But I think if you cared about what the rear elevation looked like, having that those truly be shed dormers rather than be a gable that is of a lower roof height. I think that would be preferable. Given that we can't see it from the street, I don't think that you should be required to do that, but it would be my recommendation. Do you know what I'm saying, though?
Oh, yes, yeah, absolutely.
For the last 2 feet, just...
Yeah. It's interesting, like, looking at the houses around, out the backyard of this house, and you can see, you know, kind of a hodgepodge of additions and things that have happened in the back of the houses. So
yeah.
I totally agree with you, and maybe I'll talk that over with my
architect
wife and see what she says.
Okay. I didn't realize there was two architects involved. Never mind. To a third architect. I don't want to preclude anyone else from making a motion. That was just my 2 cents.
You could make the motion.
Clearly, if you have a prefer the original and you want to continue with it, you know, there is that opportunity for us to open up that discussion. But it's up to you. I mean,
I think I might talk over with Commissioner.
Was it Craig?
Yeah, it was Craig.
Craig was your plan checker.
Yeah, I might talk over what Commissioner Steele's saying. With replicated a gable back, just make them shed dormers.
In that case, would you still want the commission to vote on approving this design with the recommendation of Commissioner Steele?
I mean, I think we could, as a commission, I think we could accept either.
Yeah.
So we could approve this and say that we have the recommendation that the
and that's up to him to do what
that the north elevation have the steeper roof and that the shed dormers are pulled back from that north facade. And then say we could leave it up to administrative approval for that last part if everyone's acceptable, finds that acceptable.
I just want to make sure we capture that.
Because what I might do is talk to Craig about how that impacts the spaces, the corners of the house.
Yeah. He's saying you have to have 6'8" continuously everywhere is 6'8".
Well, the code says 6'8" in the usable. I'm not as familiar with the residential code, but in there it says basically square footage. So if it's like a portion of a shower or something like that, is that okay as long as you have the adequate space in that shower and you just have like this weird...
Yeah. I want to say from memory that there's some type of percentage requirement.
It's an average.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah.
That's my understanding.
Okay.
When I've done it, I mean, I've done this on a lot of houses and it's usually an overall average, but you're right. Depending on what you've got underneath that lower portion of your roof, like a toilet or a sink or a shower, they do have different requirements. Like if you have a bathtub, the overall average above the bathtub has to be a certain level. So, well, I'll make a motion and then we'll just leave it up to you to decide because you've got approval on both designs then.
Okay.
And then if you need to modify this design to incorporate what James is saying you might want to do, then we could just leave that up to administrative review, right? Is that okay for you?
Absolutely.
Okay. So how do we say that in a motion? James Steele.
Yeah, I'll do it. I move to approve the application for 417 North Sheridan with the recommendation that the owner consider, the applicant consider the last furthest north 2 feet of the addition having the steeper slope like roof like the south elevation has. That's a recommendation. And if the owner chooses to resubmit with that revision, that the applicant can have administrative review rather than review of the full commission.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Steele. Second.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, say no. The motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Ken, before we move on, I had one question, basically more for staff, kind of along what Commissioner Steele had raised. Do you guys make it clear to applicants that if they do run into problems with planning, that they can contact you and that, okay, so there is.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks.
In this case, he just requested the design amendment. We had a few discussions, and then we just brought this here. So if there's a desire to stick to it, we would talk about doing it.
I just didn't know how clear it was to people that that was a possibility. Thank you for that.
I mean, inevitably, it would come before the commission again anyways, where we could raise the issue that there may be a way to get an exception to it. But specifically about the headroom requirement, I think it might be worth staff's time to have a background conversation with reviewers about whether or not exceptions to that specific provision could be something that's talked about. Because I've dealt with it. Obviously, Commissioner Williams has dealt with it as well. It's something that people run into a lot, and it seems like there could be greater flexibility given the historic district.
If it's new construction, though, they don't. I mean, if you're doing it with an existing...
An addition or a dormer, I think that should be something that...
They hold the dormers, a new dormer, to the same standards as current building.
Yeah.
Well, it's something I could bring up with Ruben, and then we can discuss with...
So I don't know that, I mean, technically, you know, when they look at that minimum ceiling height, you know, even if you're trying to add square footage to a second story, if it doesn't have that minimum ceiling height to start with up there, they won't allow it.
Yeah.
So it's.
But that's what I think needs to be talked about.
Rule.
Yeah, exactly.
Because so many of these houses, you go into the second floor and it was never compliant, and yet there's bedrooms up there.
Absolutely.
And they can't get it. They can't get over it as permit reviewers. They're like, there's no way you can expand the square footage. You can't do anything to it. And that runs counter to what we, in terms of historic preservation, want to be putting out there.
That's true.
And the consequence of that then is that you get requests for additions that then become impact the overall appearance of the house.
Yeah, because the new addition has a totally different roof pitch.
Yeah,
totally.
Total roof line, and that screws up everything. So, yeah, I mean, it's not pretty. But
so those requirements are the case with new dormers, even if they're not expanding square footage?
So even if, like, let's say I just did one last year, and the ceiling height, the pitch of the roof was at 7.2. And so I almost had to come, like, with a flat torch down roof straight off the side of the house.
Right.
And this wasn't in the historic district, but it was definitely visible from the front of the house. And had that house been in North Slope, I mean, it was ugly, no question. So I put it on the side where there was a tree.
Right.
But still, you know, I don't think that the commission would have approved it for North Slope.
Right.
Well, I had one where there was two bedrooms upstairs and there was an original staircase. The ceiling height upstairs never complied with code, and yet they were obviously a staircase that was original and two bedrooms that were original, and they wanted to add a dormer with a bathroom in it, and they accidentally approved it, not realizing what the ceiling heights were and that they weren't compliant. So after it was already built, I had to change my drawings and call the bedrooms storage rooms, and they were able to keep the dormer, because the dormer with the bathroom in it was the only thing upstairs that complied. So technically, they have an upstairs bathroom with no bedrooms up there, just two storage rooms next to it. But if, you know, it just seems like for the North Slope, it's a conversation that should be had with these permit reviewers, that there should be flexibility.
I'm gonna run for the ferry.
Item 5 is preservation planning and board business events and activities updates.
I will just note that your calendars and the staff report and preservation
say Watermark.
Good. Thank you. Anything else?
I'll make a comment that I went to the salvage art show and it was super fun. I thought that the sculptures were very creative and fun, and it was a really nice time. So thanks to the staff for organizing that.
Yeah, Grid City Magazine just did a story on it if you want to see the sculptures.
Nice.
Agenda item 6, chair comments. I don't have any. Anything else? Richard?
Good work.
Yay.
Nice
good
week.
Quick work.
Sorry, I tried to make it as long of a meeting as I could.
You can always count on.
Yeah. Long-winded motions.
You're the one who makes me check the audio, make sure I get it right.
I know.
I'm just kidding. It's all good.